Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
The city of Pensacola boasts a rich maritime heritage dating back to Northwest Florida's earliest explorers, Panfilo de Narvaez in 1528, Fernando de Soto in 1540, Don Tristan de Luna in 1559, and Don Andre de Ariola in 1698, making it one of the most historically significant seaports in the nation. And whereas National Maritime Day, observed annually on May 22nd, was established by Congress in 1933 to honor the contributions of American maritime industry and to recognize the men and women who have served as merchant mariners in times of peace and war.
Now look, Amy Miller, the assistant city administrator, is good at a lot of things. She's good at public speaking. She ran the port for years and years, and she's a fantastic lady, very smart, very sharp, very knowledgeable. I arrived at a whole new level of respect for Amy when she managed to properly pronounce all of those historical Spanish names yesterday without blinking, because that's pretty impressive. Well, giving a proclamation on behalf of National Maritime Day yesterday at the Propeller Club event, first of its kind, held at the Yacht Club.
And whereas, since the establishment of the first export of commercial cargo in 1743 and the opening of the first commercial dock in 1784, Pensacola's economy and culture have been shaped by maritime activities that continue to support jobs, commerce, and community vitality today. And whereas brave U.S. merchant mariners have played a vital role in safeguarding our nation's freedoms, transporting essential goods, and responding to global challenges, including natural disasters and wartime efforts.
By the way, it wasn't me that had left my phone on. It was somebody at the EMS / firefighters / Mike Kohler table. So that was. By the way, side note, I had a really good conversation with Mike yesterday. After the show, he had reached out to me and wanted to talk about some of the Scambi Children's Trust stuff. And I had a really good conversation. I like Mike a lot. And he kind of, he acknowledged, you know, some of the points I was making were right. He raised some additional concerns. Anyways, good conversation. So I really appreciate that. It's kind of funny. I know you've been kind of, you know, critical of me a lot here the last couple of days. I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, and of anybody who I disagree with, he's like, yeah, it's fine. I mean, you know, none of that ever bothers me, and I appreciate it. I had to tend to the terrorists at Gitmo. People being critical of me on the radio is not gonna be upsetting. I'm like, I love that about him. You know, when you're having a deal, because that's what he worked at Gitmo for a while, right? And so let's just say not every politician is so thick-skinned. So anyway, back to Amy Miller, we're finishing up her proclamation on behalf of National Maritime Day yesterday.
And whereas on this day, we also honor the legacy of our local maritime workforce, shipbuilders, port operators, and all those who contribute to the thriving maritime industries in Pensacola and beyond, now Mayor D.C. Reeves of the City of Pensacola does hereby proclaim May 22nd, 2025 as National Maritime Day in the City of Pensacola, and encourages all citizens to reflect on the rich maritime history of our city, recognize the importance of our maritime industries, and express gratitude to those who have dedicated their lives to working on and supporting the sea. And it's signed and sealed 22nd day of May, 2025, D.C. Reeves, Mayor.
Thank you.
Yeah, so it was a really good start to the event. By the way, not to like keep two stories going at the same time, but the conversation with Mike Kohler, one of the things I admire about him, honestly, is because he's used to being criticized, and, you know, when you're in the military, you get criticized by your superiors all the time. You can always listen and learn from it, which not everybody can. And so I appreciate that about him as well. Okay, so on to the actual event, the keynote speaker. This is something, National Maritime Day has been around for a long time. But it's the first time we've ever done an event here in Pensacola to celebrate it. And so this is Maritime. If I never want to assume people know kind of the subject matter or what words mean, but, you know, Maritime would have to do with, like, the Merchant Marine, which is all of the non-military support shipping things that go on, whether it's transporting cargo or, you know, running tugboats or, you know, the harbor pilot is a part of this process. You know, Matt Malstrup, who is, you know, we rode on the big ship with him recently to ship building and ship repair, maintenance, repair, and overhaul and all of that. So the guy they had in, a really sharp guy, I really like this guy, Stephen Flynn. He is the director of the Defense Industrial Base Initiative. And if you've been listening to this show or if you are informed about these things or both, a lot of this is not going to come as a big surprise. But we have not been doing our job in the United States of America when it comes to national defense production, infrastructure, manufacturing, keeping up with the ability to keep up with the Chinese for 35 years since the fall of the Berlin Wall and the end of the Cold War. We kind of went into peace dividend mode.
How do we get into this mess is in part that relative to our maritime industrial base and defense industrial bases, basically at the end of the Cold War, we were like, hey, it's done. Peace is breaking out. Let's shut all this stuff down and enjoy that peace dividend. And now we're, of course, 30 plus years later going, oops, the world is a pretty messy place. It's still a dangerous place. And we may need to be prepared for that.
Yeah, there was, in fact, what was the Francis Fukuyama piece that came out? It was very, very famous. It was the end of war or the end of all wars or the future, something along those lines. I'll look it up when I'm playing this clip. But the idea was we won the Cold War. We're the only superpower left. Everybody's going to behave and enjoy a golden age of total prosperity and cooperation. Everything's going to be fine. But, you know, no matter how good one group of countries think everything is, there's always going to be somebody out there that wants to screw it up and take more for them, right? That's just the nature of things. You think, well, why can't we all just get along? No, there's always got to be that one crack house in the neighborhood, you know, or that thinks that they can, you know, like, we got a pretty good community here. No, we're going to do things. And that's what we've got with the Chinese right now is they want more. They're not satisfied with the current state of affairs. And they haven't just wanted more. They are planning for more.
We came out of the end of the Cold War on top of the world and literally and saying, hey, we're just self-satisfied and off to the races. And that is now coming back to haunt us. And we have a lot to do to recover some ground.
And it's understandable after decades of Cold War and some hot war and the feeling that we'd won and it was over and relax and have a good time and drink champagne and, you know, make computer games. The future is done. Well, it's not. And other countries, again, who maybe don't feel like they got their fair share of everything, want more because somebody's always wants more.
The Cold War, we had at that time 51 defense contractors who were making stuff to make our nation safe, provide the tools for the Air Force and Army and Air Force and Marines, Navy and Coast Guard. Didn't have a Space Corps back then, but, you know, we had all that going. 51. Today is 5.
Oof.
So we're down to 5.
We had 51 defense contractors, then massive defense infrastructure. Now, well, you know, not so much. By the way, The End of History was the Francis Fukuyama book. And the premise was no more conflict, no more struggle. Everything's good. We can all get along and just keep being the Eloy, you know, keep being happy and fat. Well, no, there's still history because there's still some who don't have what they think they should have and others who are frustrated and others who, you know, want to build nuclear weapons when they don't need them, but they think they need them because, you know, it's Kim Jong-un, right? Or it's the leaders of Iran. So anyway, so Stephen Flynn was here yesterday to talk about the status of our defense infrastructure vis-a-vis coming war with China or potential coming war with China or discouraging potential coming war with China. But, you know, look, the naval element of this, both on the civilian and the military side, is we're losing this race. We haven't been fighting this fight. We haven't been racing this race. And they have been literally full steam ahead.
There's one place we build aircraft carriers. That's in Newport News by Hunton and Ingalls. Okay, makes the aircraft carrier. Two places we build submarines, Hunton and Ingalls and Newport News, and also in Groton, Connecticut, at Electric Boat. That's it, two. And then all the other stuff that we need, basically That has shrunk down to this very small bit.
Compared with the dozens and dozens and dozens of shipbuilding capability, I don't even remember. The number is outrageous. The shipbuilding capacity that China has right now is, I mean, it's frightening when you compare the numbers and when you look at it. And when you think about the way or the shape of our industrial base vis-a-vis our gross domestic product here in the United States now versus at the end of the Cold War and what's happened in the intervening 35 years or so, depending on from what date you count. But, you know, three decades of, you know, everything's going to be fine. No big deal. It's not so necessary to do this stuff. We have other things to worry about.
All right. The bigger, more macro problem that we're wrestling with is the production base, the manufacturing production base for our country in 1990, when we were really at the end of that Cold War time. Today, it's one-third the size it was then. That's the overall industrial base. It was about 30% of our gross domestic product in 1990. Today, it's about 12. So one of their challenges, we're trying to get people to come into the defense industrial base, and there's not that many people in the industrial base to come in. And so that's a bit of a challenge.
And, you know, economic, what's the word I want, cultures, I guess, the environment, it's not just that the shipbuilding capacity goes away. It's not just that the repair capability goes away. It's that the people go away. And the next generation of people wanting to go into that industry have gone away. And the educators who teach and train and prepare and mentor and apprentice the people who would go into the shipbuilding industry have gone away. And the supply chain around, you know, like it's not just flip a switch on, throw, you know, $100 billion at this problem and it'll solve. You have a really complicated constellation, collage, ecosystem of lethargy, of laziness, or of, you know, he called it hubris, you know, which is the relaxed contempt for we don't need to have this anymore. And it's, you know, we've kind of all allowed this to happen. So what we need is kind of a sense of urgency about, you know, we need to, and look, we have great capability. And he talked about World War II, how, you know, we overcame massive deficit. We mobilized our defense industrial base and we with the cooperation of private industry. And it was a huge thing, right? The Freedom's Forge. It was such a huge mobilization effort in World War II. But we stand in the barely starting the pilot light at this point. You know, like we're not there. And, this is nothing. What he's saying is not new. I've been listening to, admirals and the CNO and briefings in front of Congress, and they've been saying the same thing for years, at least, like, vividly for at least a year or two. And, of course, I'm sure in maybe less publicized corners for even longer than that, because this is not a brand new problem. But put it in perspective, again, China versus the U.S., where are we now?
But the core issue here is that we got a very messy world with a really pretty determined and capable adversary in the form of China. China today produces 50% of the world's merchant marine. To kind of stop, reflect on this, China has 200 times the maritime shipbuilding capacity of the United States. 200 times. We produce about 0.1% of the world's maritime manufacturing capability, 0.1%. China does 50%. Now, this is all fine if we're never actually going to have a war. And we're actually going to have to use the stuff in the war that we'd have to replace.
And by the way, I think one of his numbers might have been off because that math doesn't quite work, but the principle of scale is still accurate. Whether it's, you know, 0.1 or 0.25 or whatever, I think it's a little bit closer to the second one, but, you know, even if it's only 100 times, you know, even if it's only 50 times, that means that we make a sub, they make 100. We make a destroyer, China makes 200 destroyers. And remember, China is not North Korea. China knows how to launch a destroyer. Did you see this story? China, North Korea has launched launched is a bit generous.
Right.
They've made two destroyers.
From old Soviet era ones. Yeah.
And one of which they built in a dry dock scenario, so it was already in the water or whatever. The second one, they did the old, like, build it on the land, and then they were just going to shove it over the side and, you know, watch it splash and wiggle back and forth gently until it came to vertical. Except they botched that, and it launched halfway, and now it sits halfway on the land and halfway in the water over to its side with a giant blue tarp on the top of it. And people are going to die because it's Kim Jong-un. I mean, it's a little funny. It's not that funny, but that's not China. China knows how to make and launch a destroyer. Now, they look, yeah, they steal their technology from us. They learn how to make everything by looking at what we make, and then they make some crummy knockoff version. Okay, that's true. You know, their version of the F-35 is not our version of the F-35. Their version of the main battle tank is not our version of the main battle tank. Okay, yeah, but as it's been said many times, at some point, numerical supremacy alone, you know, quantity becomes a quality of its own. And it's not like they can't do anything. It's just they're maybe not quite as good. But if you're making 200 times as many of them and you can repair them and, you know, replenish them and, you know, have the various forms of weapons on them and supply them, well, we don't. So we need to move. And that's what he was getting at in this speech yesterday. There's more on this. I'll talk about it later on in the show. But it was a great event. It was a great event put on by the Propeller Club. It was a very informative. I won't necessarily say, you know, groundbreaking, but it was a reminder of things we should all know about. And that the president and the national, you know, defense apparatus is committed to not getting our butts handed to us in the coming likely war against China. A rising superpower. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have any kind of heating, air conditioning, plumbing, electrical work that needs to be done inside your home, you can call Peden. They do all of that stuff. In fact, they're like, kind of their subtitle is long. It's, you know, it's Peden. Heating, air conditioning, plumbing, electrical. You know, like it's a very, like they do all these things, all the complicated systems work inside of your home. And so if you have any problem in those areas, they can take care of it. For more than 55 years, all along the Gulf Coast, everywhere from Tallahassee to, you know, Panama City to Gulf Breeze and Milton and Pensacola, Baldwin County, even Foley, and now into Mobile County over the last couple of years, they can take care of you. Good quality products, you know, smart installation, satisfaction guarantee in their work. And this month, for the month of May, May, of course, is getting a little bit warmer. You can cool off with a new air conditioning system from Peden, $1,500 off plus special financing. There are some restrictions. Generators, we're coming into, you know, we just had the hurricane forecast announced, so we're coming into storm season soon. Save $2,500 on a standby generator through May with a dependable and powerful Briggs & Stratton generator. Again, some restrictions may apply. Find out more or schedule an appointment at Peden, PEADEN.com.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English, and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is the story of the one. As a safety manager at a manufacturing plant, he does everything he can to keep his coworkers safe. From finding ways to reduce risks, to keeping safety supplies in stock. And for that, he relies on Grainger. Grainger offers a broad range of quality products and next-day delivery, so he can always play it safe. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get tips on the Blue Angels, beach time, and ways to help make sure your guests don't miss a thing. Today at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I have just created something totally illogical.
Did John Dutton build a baseball field and the corn? It's so weird. Come on, it's Kevin Costner, right?
Yes.
Come on, think it through. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Some more information on that plane crash we were talking about yesterday morning in San Diego. Six people on board a private jet that crashed into that neighborhood in San Diego are said to be dead. Authorities say the Cessna 550 was flying in dense fog. Apparently, it hit a power line, and that's what caused it to crash into a house. I suppose the only good news on this is nobody on the ground was hurt in this crash, but about 100 people did have to evacuate after several houses caught on fire in that neighborhood. More than 200 crypto investors attended a gala dinner hosted by President Trump promoting a new meme coin. This event was held last night at Trump's golf course near Washington, D.C. Investors had to buy the president's Trump cryptocurrency, dollar sign Trump crypto. How do you say
that? I don't know.
Very strange.
I give up. I give up. These people paid. What was the number I saw? I'm going to make this number up because I can't remember. It was, you know, low end was like 50,000, high end was like 12 million. I mean, it's crazy the amount of money that was thrown at this thing last night. A fundraiser for the president who's not running for re-election.
A little odd.
A little weird. Okay.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A man who's confessed he shot and killed two Israeli embassy staffers outside a Jewish museum in Washington, D.C. Wednesday faces federal murder charges.
The acting U.S. attorney for D.C., Jeanine Pirro, says there could be more charges against the suspect, Elias Rodriguez, depending on the evidence. Investigators are combing through Rodriguez's background, speaking to those who know him, checking his social media accounts, and reviewing writings that are believed to have been published by him.
Fox's Madeline Rivera prosecutors say it's too early to say if they'll pursue the death penalty. Harvard could lose more than a quarter of its students with permission to enroll foreign students revoked. A school spokesperson calls that unlawful. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem on Fox.
Anti-Semitism will not be stood for.
She accuses Harvard of fostering violence, anti-Semitism, and coordinating with the Chinese Communist Party on campus and failing to comply with reporting requirements as well. The school calls the decision unlawful. America's listening to Fox News.
Six people on board a Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies at 68 degrees in Pensacola. Well, starting tomorrow, ECAT's seasonal beach jumper is back in service.
That will be serving the Navy base downtown and servicing the beach as well. So that's an additional service.
ECAT Director Rodriguez Kimbrough, that bus route will run from 10:20 a.m. until 10:15 p.m. That's both Saturday and Sunday. It also, starting next week, will run on Friday afternoons through the evening. And it runs from NAS Pensacola through downtown Pensacola, then to Pensacola Beach. It is a free service to get sailors to the beach on the weekends. Well, if you've noticed a lot of mosquitoes lately, you're not imagining things. To fight the pests, Escambia County Mosquito Patrol began conducting fogging missions. According to the county's website, mosquitoes can be a public health issue and carry serious diseases such as encephalitis, yellow fever, dengue, malaria, and Zika. To request a fogging service, call 850-937-2188 or email mosquitocontrol@myescambia.com. Well, the Army is investigating allegations a group of Rangers fired a bunch of blank rounds from automatic weapons at Crab Island a week ago. That incident was caught on video and posted to social media. That incident happened last Friday. It happened as the Billy Bowlegs Pirate Festival was ongoing. The Army confirmed they were participating in a sanctioned mock sea battle. They said the weapons fired at Crab Island, though, were not approved and not part of the festival. Okaloosa County officials confirmed several 911 calls following that incident. Well, our sister station, Cat Country 98.7, presented a big check yesterday to the Santa Rosa Kids House at the Board of Commissioners meeting.
We do this amazing show with our friends at Juanas Pagodas and Sailor's Grill every year. And the Spring Jam concert has really become a yearly tradition. So while I am looking for Kevin and everybody to come on up here, you guys really, we get the opportunity to help serve in Santa Rosa County.
Cat Country 98.7 Program Director Brent Lane presenting the check for $22,878 to Santa Rosa Kids House Board Chairman Wendell Hall.
We hold this concert, which is very, if you've never been to one of them, and all it takes to make it happen, and Brent Lane and all their contacts, no one else could do it, and we just can't say thank you enough. To Kevin and Miss Marie from Juana's, I mean, they just open their doors, they make it happen, and it goes, they know, they're like us and like all of us. We love kids and we care about what happens to those kids, and especially those that are abused.
And Commissioners Kerry Smith and Colton Wright both commenting, it's sad that the kids' house even has to exist, but they say they're happy that somebody steps up to help the children that need it most in Santa Rosa County. Governor DeSantis is blocking developers from building at state parks. He signed a bill yesterday to ban golf courses, hotels, and other facilities on the land. The governor did once support the idea, but it wasn't very popular. He appears to have changed his mind now. He didn't comment after signing the bill. He called the State Park Preservation Act. Palm Beach County Republican State Representative Peggy Gossett Seidman co-sponsored the bill. She says it's a thrill and a joy for every resident, bird, gator, deer, and every living critter in the state. 535 here at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our weather forecast with Brooke Richardson and Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to have a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Heading into your Saturday, small chance of a stray pop-up shower, 10% overall. Most of us looking nice and sunny, high near 88. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 72. Looking at a similar forecast for that Sunday with just a small 10% chance of rain, high near 88 degrees. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 74. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather App. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 68 degrees in Pensacola. It's 70 in Gulf Breeze, 65 reported in Milton. Your next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable. Now let's get a quick pre-opening market report from Your Money Now.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. AAA says a record 45.1 million people are expected to travel between Thursday, May 22nd and Monday, May 26th, breaking the 2005 holiday weekend record of 44 million travelers. Of those travelers, more than 38 million are expected to hit the road. Apple has raised the amount of money people can get off their next iPhone in China by trading in their old device. The move signals Apple's desire to spur more sales in China, where it has faced falling market share and declining sales amid tougher competition from Xiaomi and Huawei. Anthropic, the Amazon-backed OpenAI rival, has launched its most powerful group of AI models yet, Claude 4. Jared Kaplan, Anthropic's chief science officer, said the company stopped investing in chatbots at the end of last year and has instead focused on improving Claude's ability to do complex tasks. Anthropic said Claude, Opus 4, is the best coding model in the world and could autonomously work for a nearly full corporate workday of 7 hours. Futures are slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
Have you given your auto loan a second thought lately? Just like you might refinance a home for a better deal, you can do the same with your auto loan. Refinance an existing loan from another institution with PennAir Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. Take your old auto loan off of autopilot with PennAir to lower your interest and payments. Learn more at PennAir.org/auto-refi. That's PennAir.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan application submitted between April 1st and June 30th, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PENN-AIR for complete details.
Gun Show, this weekend in Crestview, Florida. Hundreds of guns, knives, ammo, coins, and more. This is a buy-sell trade event. Private sales and sellers welcome. It's a brand new event located at 410 West James Lee Boulevard, Crestview, Florida. Saturday, 9 to 4, and Sunday, 10 to 3. Admission just $10 a person. Kids under 14 are free. Discounts for law enforcement, military, firefighters, and first responders. For more information, go to usagunshowsfl.com.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:39 here on News Radio 92.3. Is it weird that the sun is up so early now, right? I mean, it's before 6. It freaks me out a little bit. Anyway, just noticing the sun and the sunrise out there. sorry, I just get easily distracted. Squirrel, yesterday we had a good chance to talk to Officer Greg Gordon. He is the deputy or assistant public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike Wood was out on other assignment. Greg, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, sorry about all that. Every once in a while we have, you know, technical issues, so no big deal. The one story that I particularly know in Pensacola has been going on this last week is apparently y'all found a body in the Publix parking lot at 9th and Bayou. Is that right?
Yeah, we did. We did. We responded. We got called there to a person in the vehicle and determined that they had passed away. So we were able to determine that it wasn't any foul play at this time. So that was a good thing. Unfortunately, you know, it was in a busy place, a lot of people. So there's a lot of activity, a lot of police presence that people saw, you know.
So this was, I mean, this was in back, this was out front, this was in a car. I mean, you tell me, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. They were out front in a vehicle.
Okay.
In a vehicle. Yep.
And I mean, it sounds like maybe the person was homeless, or do we know, or can you say?
No. Wasn't homeless person,
okay.
Or anything. Just wasn't a homeless person. The one in the parking lot. I don't know if they. Yeah, they. Who knows?
Okay.
At this time, still under investigation in aspects of that. But just an unfortunate event, like I said, in a public place where a lot of people saw in a lot of police activity,
you know.
And they were questioning what was going on.
And I mean, look, it's to me, it's somewhat of a reminder that people, I mean, it almost sounds callous to say, but, you know, people pass away in all kinds of circumstances and all kinds of ways. And they're walking down the street when they're eating at a restaurant, you know, when they're out at the park or when they're in a car or when they're driving a car. I mean, people have episodes when they're driving cars and it can be very, very dangerous. So it just stuff happens. And I guess it's a reminder of that.
Yeah.
Anything else from this? Go ahead. What were you going to say, Greg?
And a reminder, if people see something, say something. They see someone there for a while or something like that, give us a call.
Yeah, most definitely. Anything else, other incidents this week? I didn't have any on my particular list, but anything that you guys have been dealing with this week?
None right now, just this beautiful weather. It's getting a little warm, and we just want people to make sure that to pay attention to those red lights still. We want people to still pay attention to that because we're getting a lot of violations.
Have 3 mile bridge speed enforcement, my own perception, and probably people are going to be angry at me for asking, but my own perception is that it's not as vigorous as it once was. Is that accurate? Because I don't want to, you know, I'm sure people are like, shut up, Andrew, shut up. But it seems like at one point there was very, very active, you guys and Gulf Breeze Police Department. When I have driven across the bridge the last few times, I mean, it's been a while since I've seen somebody timing on 3 mile bridge.
Well, the next person that gets a ticket there is going to give the credit to you, huh?
I will find you, Andrew McKay. I will find you. Well, I only say it because when you guys do enforcement, everybody drives, well, let's be honest. When there's enforcement going on, people drive around 55, okay, for a 45-mile-an-hour zone. When there's not a perception of enforcement, people go 70, which is what the road is built for. It's just not the speed limit. So I just noticed that recently
right.
It seems like people are driving faster and faster, which is how people react to the feeling that there's not enforcement, you know?
Yeah, and we've had a number of complaints and calls regarding that.
Okay.
Yes, our traffic unit is out there. They're doing a lot of other things as well, but they are looking at addressing that as well in the very, very, should I say, very near future.
Okay. All right. All right. And, you know, if you get it, it's Andrew McKay's fault. That's funny.
Well, hey, I think everybody has ways, so they're going to probably get alerts anyway, right?
Well, that's, yeah. That, I always think that that's hilarious. All the people ratting everybody else out. It's like when we were young drivers flashing headlights at people to tell them there was, you know, not that I ever got pulled over for it. But anyway, so on a different subject, the governor just signed a couple of bills involving public safety. One has to do with, it's now lawful for there to be guardians at daycare centers or at, you know, child care facilities. I know you always want to protect all the kids, but I'm just curious, has PPD had incidents where there were threats against daycare facilities? Has this been a thing? Do you guys have a position on this? I assume you're in favor because, you know, trained security is a good thing, right?
Yeah, you know, always. We always want to protect our children and these places that they're always going to be at a large group of them. And with that law, the security, the guardian, whoever they use is going to have to be vetted by the sheriff's department. So
right.
We'll look at it as it comes closer to us. And if it if we have to address that, we will. But, you know, we want to make sure our children are safe, you know, and we'll use every asset we can to ensure that.
The other question I had is the other bill that the governor signed that I thought might be relevant to you guys is the anti-swatting bill, the one that enhances the penalties for people calling in fake 911 reports that send your officers out. And we've had swatting incidents here, right? In fact, you know, so it's a that also seems like something that you guys like because it gives you extra enhancements to discourage this behavior, right?
Yeah, totally. Number one is, you know, these swatting incidents happen and there could be a loss of life because of this, you know, and it falls on the law enforcement, but also just the call itself, the resources, the money that is spent on getting those assets there to make sure that there's no situation going, somebody's got to cover it. And I think the person who does it, that sounds like a good person to cover the cost.
Absolutely. Just like the stupid driver laws. You know, if you drive into a flooded road and they have to rescue you, well, guess what? You pay for that. You know, that I've always been a fan of that. Very good. Greg Gordon, Officer Greg Gordon, is a deputy public, or what is your title? I would say assistant. Deputy, what is your official title for PIO?
I'm just the backup PIO, but yeah, you know, assistant PIO, one of two.
He's the spare. You and Officer Surge, I love it.
Hitter.
All right. Greg, as always, sir, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for doing what you do to keep us informed and safe. I appreciate it.
All right. Everybody have a safe week.
And what was perhaps the most hilarious thing about this conversation we were having yesterday is as soon as we started talking about it, I got, what did we say, five? Six?
Yeah, it was about six.
Five or six texts in from people telling me that there was a PPD motorcycle cop on the bridge radaring and like was in the process of pulling somebody over as we were saying how much they aren't enforcing speeds on the bridge. So I didn't make it happen. It must have already been in place before we started our interview.
Thanks, Andrew.
No kidding. Yeah, I know. 5:47 here on Newsroom. That just made me laugh so much yesterday. He got a good chuckle out of that, too. I called him afterwards and mentioned it to him. 437-1620. Hey, speaking of cars that obviously only obey the speed limit, okay, let's... Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used vehicles, cars that are 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years young, low miles, 10 to maybe 40,000 miles, because they're going to warranty those cars to 10 years or 100,000 miles because they're going to give you cars that are in great shape. You know, one of the reasons you buy a new car is what? Because you know what you get and it's got a warranty, right? I mean, you're the first owner. So okay. Well, when you buy a vehicle like we did from Frontier Motors, we got a one-year-old Odyssey, came back on a lease that was, you know, they couldn't sell it in Orlando. It went to auction. Frontier bought it. We bought it. Okay. But we got a great car that has, you know, no problems and that came at a great price and we warranty lasts a long time. Like that's just what you get at Frontier. It's good quality cars that are going to last. That's why Dave Ramsey recommends them. That's why I recommend them. That's why they've been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hi, it's Bess Marks with Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor. I want to read a little letter that I got from a wonderful friend and she said, oh my gosh, wow, Bess, you and the Lazy Boy design team, you nailed it. We love it. We just can't believe it's ours. And that's what we call a standing ovation for our design team. Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor, Mobile, Pensacola, and Spanish Fort. Just like a picture out of a magazine.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer Shine counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Do you have any hobbies?
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
All right, I have had a story on my to-do list for a couple of weeks now, and I'm never really comfortable doing it, but I have enough time to talk about it right now. John, are you ready for a story that's going to weird you out and make you feel uncomfortable, and you're just going to be amazed that, you know, we live on the same planet with such people?
As long as it's not a quiz.
No quiz. Okay. Right. I'm just going to read you. This is from Allure magazine, of all places. It was a Beverly Hills kind of day. The electric Mercedes SUVs were sparkling in the sunlight, and titled little dogs were sashaying down Santa Monica Boulevard, and all cloud cover had been diverted to Culver City. In the driveway of the Peninsula Hotel, valets in crisp uniforms were frantically projecting calm while opening doors, collecting keys, pulling around, and good morning and welcome to the Peninsula-ing with meticulous precision. As early spring Sundays go, it was perfection. Inside the hotel, on a sunny terrace off the main dining room, a small group of women had gathered. Strapless dresses, Chanel handbags, Stuart Weitzman's slingbacks, brows feathered and lips glossed, waiters silently passed drinks. In the corner, a harpist harped. In the center of the group stood a tall woman with long, thick hair, an easy smile, and a very pregnant midsection. This was her party. To the untrained eye, it was the world's loveliest, most affluent baby shower. But hang on. The cocktail tray had postpartum potion and womb juice. The cake, on its own cake-sized pedestal, didn't have flowers or It's a Boy signs. It was round, blood red, and was that a... Yes, it had a fondant umbilical cord rising out of the top. This was Allie's afterbirth affair, or more commonly known, if it's commonly known, as a placenta party.
No. Just, no. That is so wrong. In so many ways, brother. So many ways.
Keep reading.
Oh, no.
When I had my first son, I had baby blues for a week or two after I gave birth, says Allie Armkoff, the woman at the center of the party. But this pregnancy has been different. And because of my hormones, I was really worried about having postpartum depression. That's real, by the way. I would do anything to not have it. I spoke to some friends who had done placenta encapsulation and had really good experiences. As someone new to terms like placenta encapsulation, it was hard not to throw up in my mouth a little bit. But then I liked the idea of taking something from my body rather than taking some chemical, said Armkoff, a Pilates instructor. At first, I was grossed out. I imagined I'd be like nibbling on my placenta, but it's so far from that. If you're already grossed out, maybe skip to the next paragraph. Oh, we won't. Ready? Okay, here's how it works. According to Danielle Kenny, founder of a company called Placenta Plus. So if you're just tuning in, I'm so sorry.
I am too.
So basically, we will get your placenta. It's cleaned out. Certain membranes are removed if needed. It's cut and dissected into very small, thin pieces. This is a real story. It is dissected into very small, thin pieces. It goes into a dehydrated It's sent to jerky. It goes into a dehydrator for 17 hours, then it comes out. Oh, it's a little bit like beef jerky. It's then ground down into a powder. We put it into capsules. Gummies are also an option, and you eat them. Now, you can only eat your own placenta, never somebody else's. Placenta jerky?
Okay. Andrew.
So.
Listen, I have nothing to do with Andrew McKay. Please be advised.
To date, Placenta Plus has done over 30,000 encapsulations.
Excuse me?
30,000! That means over 30,000 pregnancies, babies, parties, and I don't know, shrink wrap packages of jerky. I guess I'm just, I don't. For $500, someone from Placenta Plus will come to the hospital as soon as you deliver your baby. Put your placenta in a cooler, take it to the lab, process it 48 hours. You have your pills. It's a very personal thing. Some moms take a pill every day. Some take several. Some keep placenta. It can go up to $1,500 if you want the Cadillac option. You know, cosmetics, baby lotion, face cream, body pots.
What is the fragrance if you get that?
I don't.
Is it cherry? I mean.
The celebration of Armcost Placenta included not just appropriately themed cocktails and one of the most impressive feats of cake design. By the way, for clarity. The guests don't eat it, okay? The guests are eating things that are sort of like regular food, but it's honoring the concept.
Okay, good, because I thought that.
You're not eating each other. No, really? That's not. Anyway, including not just appropriately themed cocktails, one of the most impressive feats of cake design I've ever witnessed, but also a placenta painting art project and a placenta blessing circle.
Oh, boy, we can't make this up.
Just sharing.
Yeah, it's caring.
The text. Okay. So let me just quickly read the text before we go to Dave in the newsroom. Text number one, yuck. Text number two, my ears are bleeding. I seriously gagged on the gummies. Text number three, it sounds like AI created this story. Oh, anyway, and then text number four. Okay, I just woke up. What the hell are we talking about?
Welcome to News Radio.
This is just award-winning journalism right here is all this is.
Marconi Award winner.
Golly. Look, it's a wide world of weirdness out there, you know? And
you're not lying.
You know what odds are? 30,000? I mean, odds are there might be a listener. I mean, you never know. It's just, okay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline, David.
Don't, I'm not following that story. I'm on strike till you do something different.
Good luck, David.
But do you like jerky?
Oh, all right. Let's go to a happier topic. What kind of tragedies do I have for you? Well, the Trump administration says they're sending another 1,100 troops to the southern border as part of its immigration crackdown. The new deployment brings the total number of service members now to nearly 10,000. Officials say about half of the new troops will be focusing on construction and support facilities. The Sean Diddy Combs trial picking back up next week. Rapper Kid Cudi testified yesterday, and looks like they'll have more testimony. Again, I'm not going to go into detail on that, but
that's your take.
The details are out there if you want them. Six people.
Praise you for your restraint? Genuinely. Now, on the other hand, I just had a big old story about placenta parties, so I'm not sure that I get to be the one to say thanks for keeping it on the clean this morning. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, you know, given that, here, let's go into some graphic detail. Here's one. A man that confessed to killing two Israeli diplomats at a Washington, D.C. street, 31-year-old Elias Rodriguez of Chicago, is now admitting to that shooting. He told officers he did it for Palestine. He did it for Gaza. The Israeli embassy staffers were shot Wednesday night after they'd left a young diplomat's reception in downtown Washington.
Yeah, it's a horrid story. David, thank you so much for the update. I appreciate it. Thank you for being willing to follow what I did, which is also a horrid story. 437-1620. Hey, if you're thinking about doing a real estate transaction, buying a house, selling a house, both, picking up a second house, a vacation rental, a regular rental, you know, whatever, you're just some investment property for whatever reason. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. What do you want in a realtor? I mean, you want people who are attentive. You want people who, you know, respond or pick up immediately. People who can solve problems. People who have done it enough that they can anticipate the problems and get all the way through to the closing. And if something novel comes up, they either already know how to solve it or they just have the skill of solving problems and they know how to get the best price for your home. All of that stuff. When you sell 175 homes in 2023, 165 homes in 2024, and, you know, well over 200 homes several years before that, just when the market was easy and super hot, they know how to do this. They can take care of you, answer your questions. My favorite is help you ask better questions. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 786-3996. So why would the Transgressors Memorial Service be, and Pastor Andrew, Brother Andrew, be celebrating the NFL and the Tush Push? We'll tell you coming up in about 20 minutes. Local talk.